Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
How y'all living? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome, live in Southern California. Every Monday through Friday, right here in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What's going on? How are you? All right, lots of show, and I've got an interview coming up next segment. I don't want to waste any time. Let me jump you right in. If you know what you want to talk about, you know, kind of a rare thing. We're going back-to-back in hour number one. Done that a couple of times this week. But that does not mean that you should not call. In fact, you should. I'll bust the phone out wide open for you if it's the right telephone call. 1-800-636-8686. I like changing things up. The right telephone call will go right through the open. 1-800-636-8686. You know to follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You also know you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Now that all of that's out of the way, coming up next segment, Joe Thomas, former Cleveland Browns tackle, joining us. The Browns are still America's team. The Browns are still one of the most fascinating teams in the NFL. Joe Thomas coming up next segment. Right after that, head basketball coach at Florida State, Leonard Hamilton. So we do go back to back. Second hour is open, and in hour number three, the head football coach at UAB, Bill Clark. Those are your three interviews. Let me start with some NBA. Remember when a bunch of y'all were freaking out about the Lakers' 0-3 start to the season? And by a bunch of y'all, I mean all of y'all. Remember that? Laker fans losing their minds. Laker haters all about it, loving it. Yeah, well, I'm not here to say I told you so, but I pretty much told you so. I told you it was going to be a long season, that there was talent, that they had that talent, but they had to figure things out. Well, the Lakers beat the Blazers 126-117 last night. And don't look now, but they've won four in a row. They've won six of seven. Now, just like I told you not to freak out when they started 0-3, I'm going to tell you right now, especially you Laker fan, not to freak out when they're rolling the way they are, because it is still a long season. They do still have a lot of things to figure out. Here is another thing that needed to be shot down. This notion that LeBron doesn't give a damn, that LeBron doesn't care, that LeBron no longer has it, because the guy does care and he does still have it. It's a sign of how spoiled everybody is that LeBron was averaging nearly a triple-double, and people still were saying that the guy checked out. You know, like averaging a triple-double is not that big of a deal. Like, it happens all the time. But if I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, there hadn't been one of those so-called where were you when type games from LeBron. Where were you when type moments since he put on the purple and gold. At least not until last night. 44-10-9-3. 44 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 blocks in last night's game. Now, I know people wanted to clown the Lakers after their win over the Hawks. I get that. Just like I get that people wanted to crack on people who said that Tyson Chandler was going to be this great addition. But he was, and he is. And for all the doubters, check last night. The Blazers are not the Hawks, and that was not easy. They came back from 13 down, and they got that win. And LeBron did much of the work. For a guy who some losers believe is just here to enjoy the weather and to start his movie career, this guy can still play a little. This guy can still actually play a lot because the Blazers threw everything they had at him, including a number of hard fouls in the fourth, and it didn't matter. He kept right on rolling. This guy flat out imposed his will. He took over that game, and he did so against a good Portland team. That was a tremendous performance, the best in his short time as a Laker. A performance that included moments like this.
Here's a cutting Stauskas block by LeBron. A spectacular block by the King. Here he comes with the ball the other way. 360, go to the rim, lay it up and in. LeBron doing it on both ends. A spectacular block and then a running layup at the other end. And the Lakers lead 87-80.
John freaking Ireland, if you need him. Lakers radio. Block at one end, get the pass, finish it at the other. It also included this.
Ingram gets it to LeBron, who's guarded by Jake Lehman with five to shoot.
Shoot a three, LeBron.
LeBron drives right by Lehman, gets in the lane, foul count of it goes! It goes! There it is! LeBron James has tied Wilt Chamberlain for an all-time scoring mark of 31,419. And now, if he makes the free throw, Michael, he passes it to become fifth all-time in the NBA.
Wow.
And the crowd realizes what's happening and comes to its feet.
We're going to stop the game and give him the ball.
LeBron's free throw is good. There it is. He passes Wilt Chamberlain, 31,420 points. And oh, by the way, 39 tonight.
That moved him past Wilt into fifth on the all-time list. And no, I'm not interested in your lame, tired, unoriginal jokes about Wilt and the scoring list. Keep moving, losers. Great night for LeBron. In fact, so great, he got a Twitter shout-out from Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold said, "Congrats to at King James on passing Wilt for fifth on the all-time scoring list. What a champion. I'm proud of you." Game, recognizing game. And it's a reminder that while Zion is throwing down LeBron dunks, I'll get to that in a minute, LeBron is still throwing down LeBron dunks in L.A. Oh, and one more thing. Did you check out that MVP chant at Staples for LeBron? That had to feel pretty good for him. It had to make others feel miserable. You know, the ones who said that Laker fans would never embrace this guy. They have, and they're embracing this team. The only dark cloud for Laker fans was the fact that Rajon Rondo broke his hand. He's going to be out for a number of weeks, which brings up another thing. Remember when everybody thought it was so weird that the Lakers brought in Rondo? Like, why bring in that guy? He is kind of weird. He is a little strange. And they've already got Lonzo Ball. Why would you do it? Well, when you see how they play with Rondo on the floor and the impact that he's having on the young guys, you know the answer. And you know that a busted hand is not going to stop him from talking or coaching those young guys up. Now it's up to Ball to pick up where Rondo left off and keep that thing rolling. There is a lot of season left. It is only a small sample, so I would never say, "I told you so," especially since everybody hates a bag that says, "I told you so," but "I told you so." That's why you don't freak out at 0-3. Now they're 8-6. Now they're starting to put it together. And LeBron obviously is not just here to start his movie career. The guy can still ball a little. The guy still cares. The guy can still take over a game. And he did last night. Pretty awesome to see. 1-800-636-8686. Speaking of awesome to see, I mentioned Zion. This guy's incredible. This guy's absolutely amazing. Yeah, the Lakers not showed up and showed out the way they did last night, I may have started with Zion. So he gets another take. I could do a take on this guy literally every single time he hits the floor. Incredible. I want to get into that a little bit later on. I also want to talk about Golden State. At the end of the show yesterday, a lot of you were going in and taking runs at Draymond Green and setting this thing up as kind of a Draymond Green or Kevin Durant. Who's more valuable? Who's more important? Why did Draymond do that? He's out of control. He's not worth the trouble. I've got thoughts on that. I've got thoughts on whether or not he's worth the trouble. Thoughts on how valuable he is to Golden State. So Draymond will return tonight, and we'll see whether or not this is the thing that wrecks the dynasty, that rips Golden State apart, or if it's over after one night. That's coming up later on. You check out Jimmy Butler. Did you see his act last night? And then did you see what Minnesota did last night? He's Batman. I've got that story too. Lots of NBA. The LA Chargers are getting Joey Bosa back finally. He was on the practice field yesterday. Looked pretty freaking good. You know, I promised myself I would not talk about Le'Veon Bell again. The deadline is come and gone. It's over. Our great national nightmare is over. We don't have to worry about this guy. And then his former teammates went in and looted his locker. Celebrated and looted. I mean, isn't that what you do after a big win? Isn't that what any major city does after a big win? You celebrate and you loot. That's what the Steelers did to one of their own, or a guy who used to be one of their own. Also, Patrick Mahomes in the news. God, I love this guy. He's amazing. He is an unbelievable player, an incredible personality, and a great teammate. But when you're that guy, you're under the microscope. All eyes are on you. And I want to talk about some of the things that are going on off the field with him right now. Namely, his ketchup usage. Dear Jumpman, the Steelers rating, Le'Veon Bell's locker isn't bizarre. Yours, Man Ram asking Tony Bosch to read him a bedtime story. Brendan in the Natty. Billy Corbin was our guest on F59. I'm glad this guy already heard it. That's true. So Billy Corbin did a movie called Screwball, and it's about the Biogenesis scam. You remember that, right? Tony Bosch was the guy behind that. He was in South Florida, and he was roiding and shooting guys up. One of them was Manny Ramirez. And Bosch tells the story in the movie that he traveled with Man Ram and that Man Ram was kind of weird. Yeah, I know that's strange. No way. Man Ram was weird. And by weird, I mean Man Ram apparently did not necessarily like to sleep alone on the road. So Bosch made it sound like he pulled up a cot or a bed and slept with him in the same room. Not in the same bed, but in the same room. You know, I really don't care where and how they slept. What I do care about is Bosch says that Man Ram wanted him to tell Man Ram bedtime stories. That I do care about. So that's what he's talking about. Romy, have the flight deck and Hawk raided Alvin's locker yet? Le'Veon. You see, I didn't want to talk about this, but apparently you're all into it. John and Wisco, were Alvin still being ahead of LeBron on the all-time scoring list? James Kelly's been already into his locker. He's got his candy. But I got to get out because Joe Thomas is coming up next. It's going to be a good show. They're all good, but especially today. I know there's a lot of you out there who had a bad night, and I even know why that is. You didn't sleep that well. And I know why you didn't sleep that well, because you snore or your partner snores. I'm not one to present a problem without a subsequent solution, and your solution is the revolutionary snoring device, Zipa. I'm telling you, Zipa is a game changer. If you snore, you're not sleeping. If you're not sleeping, you are not succeeding. You might be able to get by a night or two without sleeping, but if this happens over and over again, it's going to impact the quality of your life. You need to get your rest. You need to get a Zipa. If you snore or somebody next to you snores, Zipa is the only snoring solution of its kind. So if you snore, you need one. I want you to check this out right now. Go to ZYPPAH.com. ZYPPAH.com. Zipa is Happy Z, spelled backwards. Easy to remember. Go to Zipa.com right now. Get yourself one. In fact, tell everybody you know to get one. Remember, ZYPPAH. Zipa. Get the great night of sleep that you need and you deserve with a Zipa.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
State head basketball coach joins me next segment, but right now we are joined by a Cleveland Browns legend, only lineman in NFL history to be named to the Pro Bowl in each of his first 10 seasons. He played 10,363 consecutive snaps, only player in team history to win the team's Walter Payton Mantle of the Year Award three times, the host of the Tomahawk Show, 2006 Outland Trophy winner, 2018 Outland Trophy Ambassador, and leading their Fight Flu public awareness campaign. Joe Thomas is my guest. Joe, it's great to have you on. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Good to have you, Joe. Thanks so much. So you were with Cleveland for so many seasons, Joe, and there were a few moments where it really felt like there might be hope. I got to be honest, right now the Browns, to me, are one of the most exciting teams in the league. I love their potential. So what do you think when you watch them on both sides of the ball right now?
Well, I'm really hopeful. I'm excited for the future. Obviously, I'm a huge Cleveland Browns fan. And when you look at who they've got a potential franchise rookie quarterback right now. They've got one of the best young pass rushers in the league, and they've got one of the best young cornerbacks in the league. And those are three positions that you can build off for the future. And that's why I'm saying it's great to be a Cleveland Browns fan right now.
We're talking to Joe Thomas. You know, in terms of the rookie quarterback, you were there when Johnny Manziel arrived before this year's draft. Or, no, you were there then. But before this year's draft, some folks were trying to make the comparison between Manziel and Baker Mayfield. Based on your time with Manziel and what you've seen from Baker, how accurate is that comparison really?
Well, it's not very accurate at all. I think people wanted to make the comparison because they're both short quarterbacks from Texas that have a lot of personality. They've got a lot of competitive fire. But when you look at how they play, Baker's much more of a pocket passer. He wants to do things within the confines of the offense, within the rhythm of the offense. And really, most of the plays that Johnny made in college, which he made a lot of them, were running around, ad-libbing, throwing the ball downfield to Mike Evans. And so really, they're totally different guys. And I think what Baker did well in college was why he is so far transitioned really well into the pro game, because he is making those plays within the confines of the offense, and he is expected to throw the ball from the pocket more often than not.
Joe Thomas, my guest. You know, Joe, then you've got all the intangible things, right? Like, for instance, being a rookie quarterback can be a really challenging thing because you've got to walk into a group of grown men, guys with families, guys who've been doing it for a long time, and you've got to say, follow me. What is it that, for instance, you would look for to see in a young quarterback that makes you feel like you want to follow him?
Well, to me, it's all about commitment. Is he putting the time in the meeting room? Is he staying later than I am? Which, when I was playing, I used to stay pretty late. So it was pretty tough for those guys to stay longer than me, to be that guy that was preparing, that was burning that midnight oil. But if you want to be a successful quarterback in the NFL, that's what you have to do. You have to be there till 8, 9 every single night, going over game plan, watching practice film, meeting with the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach, because there is so much to learn as a quarterback. It is the most difficult position in all of sports. It's like, if you want to be a good quarterback in the NFL, it's like getting your PhD. It's becoming a doctor. You need to be a doctorate in quarterbacking. And when you leave college, you basically just have your undergrad. So there's so much to learn. There's so much time you have to put in. And if you want guys to lead, or you want to be able to lead guys in the NFL, those grown men that have families that have been doing it a long time, you got to prove to them that it's important to you and that you're putting in the time, and that when the time comes, you're going to be the one that can make that play because you're prepared.
Cleveland Browns great Joe Thomas joining us here in the jungle. And Joe, one more thought about Manziel. I bring it up because he said on the Tomahawk Show, quote, "I look back at it now and I'm like, damn, I wasted a little bit of Joe T's career in Cleveland," end of quote. What was it like when you heard that for the first time?
Well, he talked to me privately about that type of stuff after he was gone and done in Cleveland. But I think, you know, for him to reflect on that is a big step in his maturation process. And if he does ever want to have a chance to play in the NFL, he's got to come to terms with the fact that he did squander his career in Cleveland because he was given a huge opportunity and he didn't put in the preparation. He didn't put in the time and the commitment that it takes to be in the NFL. Now, me specifically, well, hey, I wish he would have been a better quarterback, of course. I wish we would have won a lot more games, but that's not the way things turned out, and I can't cry over spilled milk.
We're talking to Joe Thomas. Joe, you and Andrew Hawkins were at the stadium on Sunday and gave a pump-up speech to the fans. Look, I know you're humble. You're not going to take credit for this win over Atlanta or anything like that, but let me ask you, Cleveland is such a proud, proud city. Those fans are diehard. What was it like to play in front of them?
Well, like you mentioned, we were there with the Tomahawk Show, my award-winning podcast, and it was unbelievable playing in front of those people, because even though the record was not very good year in and year out, for some reason there's so much pride and passion in the Cleveland Browns and with their fans that they would continue to show up and they would cheer and they were interested, whereas most other NFL franchises, those fans, as soon as the losing starts happening, they just turn the knob. They turn the TV off and they start watching something else. But for a Cleveland Browns fan, that's what they live and breathe and they die with. And it doesn't matter what the record is, they're going to pay attention and they're going to show up every single week and they're going to support the team. And it really felt good that even though I didn't have a very successful career from a wins and loss standpoint, those people still showed up and they cheered for you and they were in your corner.
Well, and then, Joe, the number 10,363, it goes into the team's ring of honor. I know how much your teammates and coaches love that moment. What was it like for you to see that up there with all the other Browns legends?
That was really special. There's a lot of guys that have played in Cleveland that have gone on to the Hall of Fame, and some of the greatest names in football, Otto Graham, Lou Groza, Jim Brown, and to just have that snap streak up there with them and hopefully someday have my name up there with them is something that is surreal. It really hasn't been able to become real for me yet, but standing in that stadium the day that they unveiled that, there was definitely some tears rolling down my face as I kind of reflected over what it really meant to be able to be out there with my friends and my teammates and my coaches and put together over 10,000 consecutive snaps.
You know, Joe, guys really struggle when it ends and they're not often prepared for it. You seem like you've made the transition, at least from the outside looking in. It seems like you've made the transition pretty seamlessly. You've been really busy as a broadcaster and a podcaster. So what's your first year of retirement been like?
It's been busy. Like you mentioned, a lot of guys struggle. But for me, after I got through like about my eighth season, I started kind of paying attention to my friends that were getting to that stage. They were retiring. And I wanted to try to make sure that I was as prepared as possible for that time that did come when you have to retire, because it comes for everybody. It's just a matter of time. So for me, I knew that the number one thing that could help me kind of avoid some of the pitfalls that other guys have had is just stay busy, right? Continue to be involved in the game in your own little way. And that's kind of what being in the media has done for me, but also stay busy. You know, you're going to have plenty of free time that you're not used to, but you still need to have a schedule. You need to have discipline. You need to have some of those things that were part of your daily life, because if you just let all that go away, you're going to kind of wander around like a rudderless ship. You don't really know what's going on. And then that's when you start to question, you know, what am I doing? You know, what's my purpose in life? And for me, I never wanted to have those things happen.
Right. Like, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? Joe, what about the physical transition? I mean, you've talked about how you have almost no cartilage left in your knees. And then in your final season, it was tough enough just to walk. You've made that transition to broadcasting look easy, but you've also lost a lot of weight. What's your approach been like when it comes to food in retirement?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, towards the end of my career, I really started looking forward to being able to lose some of that weight that I had to carry to be an offensive lineman, because I knew it was going to make me feel a lot better. It was going to make my knees feel better, my hips, my back. And so as soon as I decided to retire, I started losing that weight, and it's been a great process. I really cut out a lot of my carbs. I've done some of the keto diet. I've tried to pick up swimming and yoga, and I still lift weights, but it's been great. I'm down about 50 pounds from where I was during my playing days, and I feel a lot better. I'm not going to say I feel great, but I used to feel 65, and maybe now I feel 45.
Good. What about a cheat meal? Do you allow yourself a cheat meal, and if so, what is it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I am a pizza guy through and through, so for me, when I have that cheat meal, I go crazy and eat like a pizza and a half.
We're talking to Joe Thomas. Joe, you're the 2018 Outland Trophy Ambassador. You're working with the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases to help people fight the flu. What is the number one thing that you want listeners to do in order to fight the flu, to beat the flu?
Well, the most important thing is to try to stop it before you get it, you know, and the only way you're going to do that is if you're getting that flu vaccine. And there's a lot of people around us, especially as the holidays come up. There's those little kids, those older people, our grandparents that can't get the flu shot. They're not allowed. And in order to protect them from the flu and all the terrible consequences when you get the flu at a young age or a really old age, you need to have that flu shot. So obviously you want to protect yourself, but protect the people around you that you're going to be seeing during the holidays that you love, that you know, that can't get the flu shot, because the last thing you want to do is be that Typhoid Mary and show up at Thanksgiving and get everybody the flu.
So last thing you want, Joe, I do this every single year. I mean, aside from this and the conversation you and I are having, I just buy into it. I believe in it. I know the winter's coming. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to miss work. What about you? There's some that say like, no, man, I don't. It only gets me sick. I don't buy into the flu shot. Where do you come out on this?
Well, there's a lot of people that want to buy into the conspiracy theories, and they don't want to get the flu shot for whatever reason, which, hey, those people, I'm not going to change their mind about any of this, but you can find out all the legitimate information online if you go to the CDC's website and you read some of those information. But really, hey, I always have been getting the flu shot, especially since I started having kids, because I want to be able to protect them. You know, if I get the flu during my playing days, it was bad. I didn't want to have to go out and play a football game with the flu. But nowadays, the last thing I want to do is get my family sick, because, as you know, if you got a little baby, you're not going to be singing the very happy tune if your kids are sick, because you're not going to be sleeping at all, and it's going to be a nightmare. And
you know,
that's the last thing that you want around the holidays.
You know it, Joe. Once it gets in the house, it goes all around the house. Joe Thomas, Cleveland Browns legend, joining us. Joe, great to have you on. Thank you very much. I've been looking forward to it.
Hey, Jim, I appreciate you having me on, and don't forget to check out my award-winning podcast, The Tomahawk Show, wherever you get your podcast.
You know it. Well done, Joe. Well done. Joe Thomas, my guest. That's how you do it. He figured that game out fast, didn't he? Do not forget to check out my award-winning podcast. You should. You should check out his award-winning podcast. It's an excellent, excellent podcast. And while you're at it, don't forget to check out my award-winning podcast either, The Jim Rome Podcast, which dropped yesterday. Everybody's got one. Some are really, really good. His is, mine is, and some are not. In terms of the flu shot, I do this every single year. I just feel much better when I do it, knowing that it's coming. We're going to get sick no matter what. People get sick. But this time of year, you cannot be sick. When's the last time you saw me miss work because I got sick for any period of time? Don't do it. I get a flu shot. 1-800-636-8686. All right, that's your telephone number. Use the number. Phone lines are wide open. When we come back, Florida State head basketball coach Leonard Hamilton is my guest. After that, we are wide open until the third hour when we talk UAB football with Bill Clark. We already hit on the Lakers. I want to talk about Zion and him getting off again last night. I mean, Zion's insane. If Zion is dominating the way he is already as a freshman, you imagine how unfair it must have been as a senior in high school what he was doing to fools? He's a grown-ass man already. He'd be the second heaviest guy in the NBA already. This guy's jumping out of the gym already at 285. I want to get into that. I want to talk more about Golden State. Draymond Green suspended without pay. ESPN reporting that Draymond was all right with the suspension, but was surprised that it came out of his pocket also, and he might appeal that. My thoughts on that coming up, but first, here is a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So the conversation now is devolving into flu shot truthers. Do you get a flu shot? Do you believe in the flu shot? Is it a big scam? I want to hear from you. Anti-vaccinators. Are they trying to rip your money and does it not work? Would only get you sick and not prevent illness. CBS's Super Bowl season continues on Sunday with exciting regional action. The Steelers head south to take on Jacksonville. Later, the LA Chargers host Denver in an AFC Western showdown. Check your local listings for the game in your area. Kick off the day with the NFL Today presented by Jeep. At 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. I will be there in studio once again. I think I'm going to wear suit number 5. Suit 5. Check it out. And don't pay attention to what I say. Just look at how I look. 1-800-636-8686. My man David August, he's got me all hooked up. All right, as promised, we're going to talk some college basketball, specifically Florida State basketball. We are joined by the winningest coach in Florida State history, 8th all-time winningest coach in ACC history. He led Florida State to the Elite Eight last year, 3 National Coach of the Year awards, 2-time ACC Coach of the Year, 2-time Big East Coach of the Year. Friend of the program, Leonard Hamilton, joining us. Leonard, good to have you on. How are you?
Jim, who were you talking about? Was that me?
That was you. That was you, Coach. That's your resume. That's your life. In fact, speaking of your life, I got to know, before we get into the season, how are you? How is your life right now?
Oh, man, you know, I'm having a ball. I really enjoy what I do. This is, I'm kind of like I'm living a dream, working with young people. You're getting teenagers when they're 17, 18 years old, and you're with them into young adulthood, and you're mentoring them and leading them, ushering them into a part of their life that gives them a chance to be successful. And it's just a great experience. It's been a great ride for me. And I enjoy every day I come to work because I feel like I'm a part of something meaningful and important. And hopefully we can win a few basketball games along the way.
I love hearing that. Leonard Hamilton's my guest. In fact, you've won a couple of games to start. You're 2-0. You've got wins over Florida and Tulane. And on top of that, you're number 14 in the country. I know the ranking doesn't mean a whole lot to you at this point of the year, but what have you made of how your team has shown up in the first two games?
Well, I do have a lot of concerns. You know, Jim, we normally win our basketball games with our guys that are in our rotation from 6 to 11. And I have 5 new guys, first-year guys that are playing. And so we're a work in progress. We've been fortunate enough to win our first couple of games. But obviously, when you have new guys that are just getting into your system, there's a lot of growing and developing. So we still have our work cut out for us. We're trying to develop habits and some consistency. I like our team. I love the attitudes. I think we're talented. It's just that in order to compete in the ACC, and that you know you got to be at your best. I'm getting ready to go into a stretch of 5 games in 10 days. hopefully we have a Canisius on Monday and UAB, I think, on Thursday. And if we beat UAB, I'm anticipating we're going to play. We'll play LSU on Thursday, and we're successful there. We end up playing Villanova on Sunday and come back home and play against Purdue. So, you know, I'm in a very, very tough stretch right now, and we're trying to grow and learn and develop. So we are very, very focused trying to prepare ourselves for this next set of games that we have facing us.
Leonard Hamilton joining us, head basketball coach of Florida State. So you've got a really challenging stretch. You know, you mentioned you've got a lot of new faces. Then, of course, you've got some really familiar faces like Terrence Mann, P.J. Savoy. In fact, let me take a moment and talk to you about Mann, because perhaps something that people do not know, in the first game of the NCAA tournament last season, he slipped and he tore the abductor muscle off of his groin, and then he tore one of his ab muscles. The scale of the injury was not known until later on, but he kept right on playing, even at 18 in that Sweet 16 win over Gonzaga. So what's that tell you about Mann's toughness and his character?
I tell you what, I thought I was tough when I had to coach a game after having the kidney stones against North Carolina, but the pain that he had to go through, and he never complained, he never missed a day. He worked right through it and was a soldier and was extremely effective. And as soon as the season was over, we sent him to a specialist up in Philadelphia, and there we addressed it. And he was kind of on the recruiting table all summer long. And he's come back in. He's stronger and hadn't missed a beat. He says an awful lot about his toughness. His dedication to his team.
Man, that's tough. Leonard Hamilton joining us. Now, I mentioned you led the team to the Elite Eight for the first time in your time at the school, only the third time in school history. I know you're not in the business of looking back very much, but if you do look back on last season and last year's team, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Well, I felt that we were very inconsistent last year. Even though we got strong there toward the end of the season, we had some major injuries to Trent Forrest and Chris Kamwaji and Patrick Savoy. They all had 6 and 7 week injuries that caused them, you know, to not be in practice or be in games, and it kind of kept us in a little bit of flux. We never really got any consistency to right there at the end of the season, but I felt that we displayed some inconsistency that. On the road at North Carolina State, at Wake Forest, on the road at Boston College, I just thought that in Syracuse, I just didn't feel that we were where we needed to be, and so we've used that to fuel our focus and attention this year, realizing that you can't go into the ACC conference without having the right mindset. Hopefully, we've improved on that. We just got some inexperienced. We got a combination of experienced players. But we need our inexperienced players to be a little farther along than where we are. And so, but that's part of the process. I'm sure many coaches will say the same thing if you talk to them.
Ward, in fact, on that point, Leonard Hamilton, my guest, you know, I've had a number of NBA head coaches on the show in the first few weeks of the season, and they talk so much about how the NBA game has changed. How much has the college game changed in your time at Florida State, and have those changes made the game better or worse?
Well, I do think that the game has changed. I was against us moving the taking the 5 seconds off the shot clock. I didn't think that was good for college basketball. But to be honest with you, it has been. We all have adjusted. I think people have a tendency to forget, Jim, that these are amateurs. These are guys that are developing. We need a little bit more time to grow and develop. There seems to be such a push to move the college game to the NBA game for whatever reason, and you see a lot of one-on-one play, a lot of guys taking contested shots and making contested shots, and I guess that's why you call them pros. The level that we're at, we're developing kids, and I do feel the pace of the game is quickened. I think that the fans are enjoying the pace. Even though I was not in favor of cutting the shot clock down, it hasn't had any negative effect at all. We're considering moving the three-point line back. I kind of like it where it is. I like the three-point line is part of the game. It's part of the growth and development of youngsters. But I do think that the game, the pace has changed. I know our system has changed. We're playing a lot faster. We are probably one of the top teams in the country in terms of pace of game. We're shooting the ball under 16 seconds on the shot clock most of the time. We are spreading the floor, attacking a lot more. Our recruiting has changed a little bit now that we're trying to recruit types of players that can play that type of system. So I would say that you're going to see the game, the pace of the game, pick up even a little more. There's talk about, which I'm not in favor of setting the clock down to 24 seconds and widening the lane. So there's a lot of speculation going on now. But I think the game is great the way it is. And it seems like every year we're tinkering with it. And I think it's not broken. Don't think we need to be trying to fix it.
I'm glad I asked. Leonard Hamilton joining us. You know, you mentioned recruiting. Like, when kids come on campus now, generally, and every kid's different, but generally, what do they want? Are they looking to say, hey, coach, you got to help me get to the association? Are they about the process? Do they want to enjoy college life? Generally, what are these kids like when they step on campus?
Well, I do believe that comment there of kids trying to get to the NBA. Now, Jim, let's think about this. There are 400 NBA jobs. And 150 of them are probably going to European kids. So you got 250 jobs available. And every year you have about 25, maybe 30, and I'm being generous, spots available for college kids. But it seems as though we're making all the rules. And I'm for kids having an opportunity to realize their dream. I'm for anybody who wants to go one and done. I'm for kids being able to have that opportunity. But there are 8,000 kids playing college basketball, and 98% of those guys are going to be working and trying to provide for their families. So I'm really, really don't want the education process to get lost in the shuffle of us always talking about what's best for those 30 kids when you have 8,000 kids who are amateurs that maybe might not have even an opportunity. Now we are putting in enticing kids to with the $125,000 that seems to be posed to go to the G League, which I'm in favor of anybody realizing any opportunities. But I don't want the educational process to get lost in the shuffle, because most of these kids will have a better way of life if they can concentrate on getting their degrees and preparing themselves for life after basketball.
You know, it's such a critical point. You know that, I know that, but we're both a little bit older. Do they know that? Of that 98%, what percent of that knows that?
Well, I think that because of the way things are worded and presented to them, we need to place emphasis on being realistic. I mean, if you only have 30 opportunities per year that go to the league, and you got 8,000 kids playing basketball, you know, it's interesting. You'll have more kids that'll put their name in for the draft than you have spots to be drafted. You know, something's kind of wrong with this picture. It seems as though we leading our kids in the wrong direction. I think we need to have some more conversation. Let's see how we can best create a situation where kids don't get lost in their viewpoint, but also give those who are available to an opportunity to realize their dreams. We keep talking about elite players, where if you really, really look at a lot of the kids who have been successful in the NBA, they weren't considered elite players coming out of high school. Now, you do have some, but you have a large percentage of those guys who worked hard, earned their way, and they deserve to be where they are. I still think that we don't need to forget that these are youngsters, these are amateurs, and the college education experience, you know, sometimes changes the whole culture of a family.
Leonard Hamilton, my guest, two-time ACC Coach of the Year, two-time Big East Coach of the Year, a three-time National Coach of the Year award winner as well, and Florida State's out 2-0. Leonard, it is so great to get caught up with you. Yeah, I appreciate that relationship, and I appreciate the time. It's good to have you back on.
Thank you very much.
Great talking to you, Leonard Hamilton. I mean, do the math, right? How many people legitimately have a shot at the NBA? And then I wonder, we didn't get into this, but it's not just what they want or what they think. You want to talk about conversations. It's all the conversations that these players are having with people around them, people in their head, and then people who want a piece of them, people who want to get their hooks into them and what they're telling them. And you can imagine where if that's already in their head when they get on campus, it's almost virtually impossible to deprogram them at that point. They're already wired for it. They're already programmed for it. But then you got to be careful who you recruit. Dear Rome, getting medical advice from an unqualified ex-jock sounds good to us. Regards, chiropractors. Hey, Rome. Mahomes puts ketchup on his steak? Big deal. I played cornerback, and I don't know how to tackle. Signed, Marcus Peters. Wow. Tom in Dallas. He knows how to tackle. He's just not making nearly as many tackles and has been getting roasted this year. Peters knows it. He's the first one to admit it and own it, and he's got to rectify that. He is a little banged up, but the Rams are giving up a lot of big plays defensively. And when you've got the offense they have, it doesn't really matter, right? It hasn't come back to bite them yet. Love that matchup. Chiefs, Rams, two of the most explosive offenses in the NFL, both with defenses that have question marks. Kind of comes down to this, right? Which defense do you trust more? More on that next hour. Open phones too. Stay tuned.